Well, the big idea of today's sermon is love God and love your neighbor. Love God and love your neighbor. Sounds simple. And we had a chorus based on that earlier. Got it. It is simple to say. Much, much harder to do. Today we're going to look at how Jesus helped a scribe in the temple in Jerusalem sort out what is most important in life. Love God, love your neighbor. Now, last Sunday we looked at Mark chapter 11. Jesus, following his triumphal entry into Jerusalem and a quick visit to the temple on Palm Sunday evening, he returned to the temple on Monday morning. And on this visit, he overturned the tables of the money changers and drove out those who were buying and selling in the vast area on the Temple Mount that was known as the Court of the Gentiles. Now, Jesus' righteous wrath amazed the crowd, and it created fear among the chief priests, the scribes, the elders, the members of the temple council. Jesus was attacking the commerce, the corruption, the transaction of business on which the temple depended. In the words of commentator James Edwards, Jesus was laying an axe at the root of the temple as an institution. Jesus quoted Isaiah and Jeremiah saying, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers." Understandably, as Mark 11:18 tells us, the chief priests and the scribes heard it and were seeking a way to destroy him. For they feared him because all of the crowd was astonished at his teaching. Later that week, Jesus would complete his mission by dying on a cross and after 3 days rising from the dead. And at the moment of Jesus' death, the veil that covered the innermost room of the temple, the Holy of Holies, was torn, ripped from top to bottom. So the sacrifice of lambs and goats and bulls and doves and pigeons, that was no longer going to be necessary. Access to God would be opened to everyone through Christ's atonement for our sins once and for all on the cross at Calvary. Now, the last few verses of Mark chapter 11 and all of Mark chapter 12 describe a series of 8 interactions between Jesus and the temple leaders, the members of the Sanhedrin, the ruling council. And as the scripture tells us in Mark 12:13, they sent to him some of the Pharisees and some of the Herodians to trap him in his talk. So today we're going to focus on just one of those interactions. The question asked of Jesus by a scribe in the temple. And this account is found in Mark 12, 28 to 34. And I prepared this sermon using the English Standard Version of the scripture. The Bibles in the pews are the New International Version. So listen to the holy and inerrant Word of God. "And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, 'Which commandment is most important of all?' Jesus answered, 'The most important is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' And the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is much more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Let's pray. Father, just allow me to get out of the way of your word and let it speak to everyone who's here today. We do want to love you and love our neighbor. And so just soften our hearts and sharpen our minds and let your words penetrate. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, recently, I've been visiting with Doris Burke, one of Salem's senior saints. And Doris has been on hospice for the past few months, and she's staying with her daughter Sharon out in St. Charles. Now, sometimes we have communion together. Sometimes we just visit. One time, Connie Lacker went with me, and Claudia Jay was there with her son-in-law, Fred, and the ladies had a good visit. My last visit was a little different. When I visited last week, Doris and her daughter were at the kitchen table playing a card game, and I was not familiar with it. It's called Kings at the Corners. Well, the three of us ended up playing a couple of hands. And of course, the first thing that was necessary was for them to teach me the rules of the game. So they dealt the cards. We played a hand face up so I could see how the game worked. Then the two card-sharp ladies enjoyed beating me twice. In order to play a game, you have to learn the rules. Our lives are governed by rules of various kinds. You need to learn the rules of the road before you get a driver's license. If you're a student, you need to learn the rules that your teacher has established in the classroom. In talking about music theory, one of my undergrad professors pointed out that before you break the rules of harmony and of counterpoint, you need to learn the rules. We are a nation governed by rules, by laws. One of the things that preoccupied the scribes in Jesus' time was the study of the rules, of the laws that govern the lives of the nation of Israel, and sorting out which ones were the most important. Now, if I said to you, how many commandments are there that we must live by? My hunch is, by God, to Moses, indeed, yes, there were 10 commandments handed down by God to Moses for the nation of Israel on Mount Sinai. But if you ask a first century Jew, how many commandments must be followed, he would say, 613. These were the laws found in the first five books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, the books of the law. The scribes and the Pharisees counted them. 248 were positive. Do this, do that. 365 were negative. Don't do this, don't do that. And in addition to dividing them into positive and negative, the scribes also divided them into heavy laws and light laws, laws which were absolutely binding and laws which were less binding. So the question that the scribe posed to Jesus was, which commandment is most important of all? Now, the scribe's question was different from the others that were being asked of Jesus by the members of the Sanhedrin in the temple that day, as the members of the temple council tried to trip Jesus up. This scribe had been impressed with the answers that Jesus was providing to the hostile questions of the Sanhedrin. And so this scribe's question was sincere. Recognizing the spirit with which the question was asked, Jesus immediately answered it in a straightforward fashion by quoting Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This passage of Scripture was well known to the Jews of Jesus' time, and it's recited by pious Jews today in the morning and in the evening and in temple services. It's known as the Shema, the Hebrew word that means hear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. J. Vernon McGee translates it this way, Jehovah, our Elohim, is one Jehovah. We could say, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. When these words were written in the book of Deuteronomy, Israel was about to enter a nation with over 40 people groups where many gods were worshipped. So in the midst of all of this pluralism, they were to remember there is only one God. Today, the postmodern era is a time also in which the politically correct approach is that there are many paths to the mountaintop, many ways. When the Lord our God, the Lord is one. When Jesus quoted the words of Moses, you shall love the Lord your God, Jesus was making love the most important thing in life. And the love that Jesus requires us comes from the Greek verb agapao. And there are four Greek words that mean love. Eros is romantic love. Storge speaks of love of things. Phileo is the love of one brother for another. But the verb agapao speaks of a never-ending, unchanging, unconditional, all-consuming love. I like Warren Wiersbe's comment, if we love God, we will experience his love within and will express that love to others. In living out our Christian faith, we do not live by rules, but by relationships, a loving relationship with God that enables us to have a loving relationship with others. As Paul said to the members of the church in Rome in Romans 13, 8 to 10, owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is fulfilling of the law. Now, Jesus is also telling us to love God with all we have, with all our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. Simple to state, difficult to do. Recall the words of Isaac Watts in his great hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Charles Spurgeon, the great 19th century preacher, said, if Christ is not all to you, he is nothing to you. He will never go into partnership as a part savior of men. If he be something, he must be everything. And if he be not everything, he is nothing to you. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind and all your strength. Love God and love your neighbor. Now, Jesus immediately followed this quoting of the Shema by quoting Leviticus 19:18, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus linked the two passages in a way that had not happened previously. There is no other commandment greater than these. No rabbi had ever said that. Although this scribe had been asking him for the one greatest commandment, Jesus actually gave him two. Loving our neighbors is the practical outworking of loving God. And yet he uses the singular commandment to show that these two things cannot be separated. Love God, love your neighbor. A neighbor is someone whose needs I see, whose needs I can meet. A neighbor is anyone in need that God brings in front of me. For Jesus, the requirements of the law cannot be fulfilled with traditions or rituals. We must love God, and loving your neighbor is the chief means of loving God. 1 John 4:20 puts it well. If anyone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Now, I personally have to admit that sometimes I've found it difficult to love my brothers, my sisters, my friends. I've even found it difficult to love myself. But love my neighbor? Someone has said, "To love the world to me is no chore. My big trouble is the guy next door." But in Luke 6:32 to 36, Christ makes the challenge even greater. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. Wow. Love your neighbor even if he's your enemy? Well, that's the message of the parable of the Good Samaritan that we find in Luke chapter 10. And Jesus says in Luke 10:28, "Do this and you will live." Do what? Love your neighbor as yourself, even if your neighbor is an enemy. Loving your neighbors isn't always easy, but it is life-giving. Brian Bill is a Baptist pastor in Rock Island, Illinois, and he uses the acronym BLESS, B-L-E-S-S, in this area. And the acronym and a couple of words of explanation about each letter are in your outline today, if you want to refer to it. But the B is begin with prayer. God, how do you want me to bless the people in the places that you've sent me to? L, listen with purpose. Take the time to listen to the needs, the struggles, and the pains of the people around you. Be present. Make yourself an easy person to bump into. And Doris and I are both Stephen ministers, and our experience in Stephen ministry and the experience of over a million other people is that the main thing that we do for people is listen. Listen to them with the promise that what they say to us will be confidential. So listening with purpose. The next E, eat together. I've always done well with this one. Look for ways to have a cup of coffee, a meal, or a dessert. S, serve in love. Look for ways to respond to the needs, the struggles, and the pain of people. When you see a need, meet that need. 1 Corinthians 10:24 says, "Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor." And then the second S, share your story. When the time is right, share the story of how Jesus Christ has changed your life. B-L-E-S-S. In monthly meetings of several months, I have enjoyed attending monthly meetings of a group of North County pastors who gather at each other's churches to communicate and pray for each other. I've learned a lot about building bridges, loving neighbors, overcoming things that divide us, and living in unity as brothers in Christ. Each time that group meets, I think of Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. And as I've prepared this sermon, I thought about the acronym BLESS, B-L-E-S-S, and I realized that when this group of pastors meets, they're doing the things that we learn from that acronym. When this group meets, we begin with prayer. We listen. We listen with purpose. We eat together. Someone always brings some food. We talk about ways to respond to people's needs, struggles, and pain. And we share our personal testimony about how Christ is at work in our lives. We B-L-E-S-S, bless each other. And you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, as Bryce mentioned earlier, and as we've been publicizing, you are going to have a great opportunity to bless each other this next Sunday when we're going to have one of our pastor neighbors, Tony Jeffries from Center of Life Church, come and speak to us while Bryce preaches at Center of Life. Then we'll go to Hazelwood Baptist for lunch, a time of worship with music in the sanctuary, and the Unity service at 2 p.m. So you will also have an opportunity to bless and to be blessed. So I hope that you will take advantage of this opportunity. Love God and love your neighbor. When Jesus answered the scribe's question about which commandment is the greatest, the scribe affirmed that Jesus' answer was correct. I find Jesus' last words to the scribe in the temple interesting and challenging, because Mark 12:34 tells us, when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." This man, this scribe, acknowledged Jesus as a teacher of the truth. The scribe was facing the truth honestly, and we have to give the man credit for his courage in stating this publicly in front of everyone else who was there. He was not far from the kingdom of God. So I want to conclude today by asking each of you where you are in relation to the kingdom of God. Are you like the scribe? Are you not far from the kingdom of God? We don't know what happened to the scribe. We don't know whether he came to accept Christ in his own life. But if you are not far from the kingdom of God, why not accept your personal need for Christ and invite him into your life and become part of God's kingdom? You may know other people who are completely lost, wandering far from the kingdom of God. Or you may know someone who, like the scribe, is not far from God's kingdom. Invite them in. Love God and love your neighbor. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the fact that we can find your wisdom in your word. And we want to love you, Father, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we want to love our neighbor as ourself. So help us to have the strength through the Holy Spirit to accomplish those things. And if there are those who don't know you in a personal way, those who are outside your kingdom that are here today, we just ask that you would pull them ever closer and that ultimately they will become part of your kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.